This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And off we go, ladies and gentlemen, into another wonderful 4-hour expedition into the land of sports. Welcome in my dudes, my dudettes, my amigos, my amigettes. It's great to have you. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate happiest of Tuesday to you, my people. I hope that you had a wonderful start to the Turkey Day celebration. I hope that you had a wonderful start to your Thanksgiving week. I hope that you are all jacked up about rivalry week this weekend. You know we're going to spend some time getting into that later on the show today. Looking forward to talking football with you, my people, no matter where you are, around the country, around the world, the show is for you. The show is for the Armada, and we want you to be a part of it, don't we? Yes, we do. That is why we have the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone at 844-FANFONE. That's 844 if you prefer the numbers, 326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You can text us on our text line, which is open and will be open for the entirety of the radio program. That one's easy to get to as well. All you need to do is text 71307, 71307. You start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. You can also get at us on the X machine, if you prefer that. The X handle is at the Rob Brown Show, because I am a creative branding genius. At the Rob Brown Show, if you want to get at us in that direction, we'd love to have you on the text line. On the X post line thread thing, whatever you want to call it. We want you there as well. The great Melonzo is out today. He will rejoin us next week on the show. And of course, as we mentioned, a brief programming note. Tomorrow, our last day of the week, will be off on Thursday as we give thanks for all the things. Then we'll be off on Friday because Daddy wants a new TV. All right? Am I a Black Friday shopper? You're damn right I am. Why would I not be? I get cheap TVs. Yeah, I'm going to, I finally talked the wife into upgrading our tiny, pathetic, worthless little 50-inch TV that's in the living room. I think I've talked her into bumping it up to like a, I don't know, what do we think, 75-inch in the living room? Maybe I talk her into going to the full 80-inch. We'll find out. We'll see. It's whatever I can get her excited about in the store. But we'll return next Monday. Lonzo will be back. My man Ben sitting in for him this AM, and we appreciate it. The live stream is up for you this AM. The live stream is available for you at facebook.com/thefanupstate. It's available on facebook.com/TheRobBrownShow. It's available for you on YouTube by searching and subscribing to either The Fan Upstate or The Rob Brown Show. And it's available on Twitch. You go to Twitch, you search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show on Twitch, and you can go behind the scenes and watch all 4 hours of our shenanigans live and in living color. You can interact with Ben and I off the air during the breaks. You can chat with some of our guests that stop by. Two of them today, as a matter of fact, coming up this AM at 8 a.m., the lovely Lulu Kesson has been kind enough to shift her weekly spot on Thursdays over to a Tuesday so that we can, you know, talk to her. Because I'm going to keep it a buck with you. On Thursday morning at 8 a.m., when Lulu Kesson usually stops by, the odds that I am, out of bed, roughly 0% chance I'm going to be up at 8 a.m. on Thursday, all right? That's a long day for your boy. You got to get up. You got to enjoy the a.m. Yeah, then you got to start cooking. I come from a Cajun family, y'all. I come from a New Orleans family. If you don't think, everything in our life is food. Somebody dies, you're eating good. Sad. We're going to miss him. R.I.P., uncle, R.I.P., whoever. Sad. We're all bummed out. But we're going to eat good for about 2.5 weeks, all right? Somebody gets married. Oh, Lord. Don't wear pants you like because they ain't coming back with a button on them, all right? Whatever it is we're doing, it's all about food. So when you give us a holiday that ain't nothing but food, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think? Y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, I lost 50-plus pounds to get ready for that wedding back in September. I might put about half of that back on Thursday. So the key is, and this is what a lot of people miss out on, the key is, like any good competition, you got to make sure you're rested up. You got to make sure that you've given yourself, your body, a chance to take itself to peak possible performance. That requires sleep. That requires rest. That requires giving yourself the time to get your body right. And that's what I'm going to do on Thursday morning. I'm going to sleep in till about noon. I'm going to get up. I'm going to pitch in with the oyster dressing. All right. I'm going to get up. I'm going to help go outside and get the fryer going for that deep fried turkey, because I am sorry, there is no proper way to serve a turkey aside from deep frying a turkey. So I'm going to help get the fryer running outside, make sure we got that full propane tank to get that Earl nice and heated. Make sure there's just enough in there to coat the turkey, but not enough that it explodes out of the side and creates a fireball in my grandmother's driveway. And then we're going to drop that bad boy down in there, pull it back up. And there comes a time in every family, there comes a time for the passing of the turkey carving knife. You know, the one your grandmother's had since you were a wee lad. Ben, you got that in your family? You got the electric carving knife that's been in the family for 1,000 years.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it's white. It's got a white handle with a beige trim on it. It's got a long, wide extension cord, and it's got the alternating dual blades on it.
Did we have you last year? Did we have you over last year?
No.
How'd you know about that?
Just every American grandmother has that knife.
It's tinted a little yellow.
Oh, yeah, because it's been used a bazillion times. At some point, it's like the kings of medieval Europe, right? Like, there comes a point where the heir of the throne walks up the steps and takes the seat on the throne, and like some vague hooded religious figure walks up and slowly sets the crown down on his head and then steps away. It's that but an electric turkey knife that's been in your family since roughly 1927. All right? And at some point...
The Southern stiletto.
Oh, everybody's got one. And at some point in every man's life, and if this is not true in your life, I need you to grab yourself a mirror, and I need you to look deep into it, and I need you to get introspective. Because if there's not been a point in your life where that hasn't been passed on to you like an ancient relic of a kingdom from a foregone era, if it hasn't been handed to you and your family hasn't said to you, it's your time. It's your time. Now, this era belongs to you. We love you. We trust you. And we believe that you have it in you to get this done. And they hand you that knife, and then what happens? You walk into the kitchen, the turkey's laid on that serving platter, you take that knife, you plug that knife in, and then you start to cut. You start to carve, and everybody, nobody wants to say it, nobody's going to say it, but everybody's watching. Everybody's got their eyes on you. Everybody is staring at you to make sure you get this right. And you, let's be real. You might have one shot at this. You got one shot at making this work. So you got to get in there. You got to have, you can't go too thick. You can't go too thin. You can't carve in the right spots. And you damn sure can't ask for help. Hey, Uncle Mike, can you come over here and show me? You've been doing this for years. It's my turn. Can you come over here and help me? You can't do that. You can't do that. It's embarrassing. You can't ask for help. You just got to dive down in there and figure it out. It's like playing quarterback in the National Football League. Nothing in your life has prepared you for that moment. Nothing in your life has prepared. You could never have known that there twas to come a day at some point, somewhere, where a room full of people were going to be staring at you as you wielded an alternating, plugged-in, dual-bladed carving knife. And if you get it wrong, please know you're never going to hear the end of it. For years, your relatives are going to go, "We gave you a chance. We gave you a chance to be the guy. We gave you a chance to be the one. We gave you a chance to show what you're made of, and you disappointed this family. You let us down. We gave you the chance to put on the helmet and be QB1. We gave you the chance to be the one that we bragged about, to carve that turkey in a way that was good for everybody. And here's the thing. You're not just thinking about dinner, are you? You got to think not just about that dinner, but you got to think about, all right, am I carving this turkey in a way that it is going to be good for them turkey and everything else sandwiches tomorrow? Because you know, I don't know about you guys, but the only thing I look forward to more than Thanksgiving dinner is Black Friday lunch the next day with the leftovers, all right? My family strings together something in the neighborhood of 1,000 different casseroles, all right? I got broccoli casserole. I got macaroni casserole. I got oyster dressing over here. And then you got, of course, you got all them crispy, fresh veggies because we're farmer's market people, baby. We're farmers market people. We're not going down to your local grocer and picking up a bag of frozen veggies. Come on. Come on. There are farmers in our community, y'all. There's people around us that they grow this stuff for a living. It's just what they do. And they're here for you. They're here for you. They want to provide you and yours with the freshest the money can buy. So what you do is you head down and you grab some fresh veggies, you know, string beans, collard greens, whatever you want. You cook them up right. You get them good mashed potatoes. I'm a white gravy guy. I love some brown country gravy, but I'm a pepper gravy, untouchable. All right. So what I'm looking forward to is the next day, I'm taking those dinner rolls that I can get eaten, putting them in the air fryer, softening them up, toast the outside just ever so slightly. Little layer of turkey, little layer of that broccoli casserole, little scoop of the mac and cheese, little bit of the white gravy on top, a whole lot of butter like Paula Deen on a bender. I'm smashing it together, and we're going ham on some post-Thanksgiving turkey sandwiches. But here's the thing. If you screw up the turkey carving on Thursday, everybody's mad at you on Friday, right? It's like losing at the quarterback spot. You go throw a pick on a big drive. It's third and three. All you need is three. Coach says, hey, they think we're running. We're going to have you throw the ball. You drop back in the pocket. The game's on the line. You can see the scoreboard. You're down four. You need a tutty. You uncork. And oh, no, you didn't see the single high safety floating back there in coverage. He picks it off. And in the moment, everybody around you in the moment is going to be going, hey, Chief, it's okay. You did the best you could. We got your back. You're still our quarterback. You're our guy. We love you. You're not going anywhere. Yada, yada, yada. But see, here's the thing. They're going to wake up. They're going to wake up the next day, and they're going to read about that game in the paper, and they're going to go, son of a bleep. We had it. And John threw a pick because he can't read a basic defense. What the hell are we doing, John? And they're holding it against you for days. So get that turkey carving right, people. Get that turkey. If you need to practice, practice. All right? Head down to the store today. Grab yourself a butterball. Take it home. Just study it. It's like a playbook. If I walk into the facility on Saturday and the game's at 1 o'clock on Sunday, if I walk into the facility on Saturday and I see my quarterback sitting there playing Madden, if I see my quarterback sitting there shooting, you know, foosball in the golf simulator the night before a contest, that ain't my guy. That ain't my quarterback, all right? Go get you a butterball, take it home, analyze, study. There's YouTube videos. Watch 100 YouTube videos tonight. You got to get this right. You got one shot. If they hand you the carving blade and you botch it on your first go, you'll never get that honor, that distinction again. You will forever be the black sheep, the guy banished to the other side of the kitchen. You'll be getting your plate last. No one will ask you if you're ready for seconds. And on top of all that, you got to clean the kitchen. You don't get the old tryptophan nap in the recliner, in the living room, watching Dallas lose to whoever Dallas is losing to this year on Thanksgiving Day. No, no. You got to go help clean up. You got to rinse dishes. You got to clean cups. You got to stack the dishwasher. You don't get that nap because you blew it. You had your opportunity, your time to shine, and you blew it. I have no idea what came over me right there. I don't. I don't know where that came from, but it felt necessary if we're keeping it a buck.
That was cathartic.
Yeah, it felt necessary. It felt like it. Let's be real. It felt like some of y'all needed to know. All right, I'm really here just to make your lives better. And I got to tell you, if you blow it on Thanksgiving Day, if you are given the opportunity to shine and you blow it, no more excuses. It's on you. I've given you the prep. I've given you the strategy. I've given you everything you need to step up, grab that carving knife, and be the hero that your family wants and deserves. If you don't do it, it's on you. All right, we got a lot we need to get to, a lot we need to talk about on the show today. We continue our look up and down the college football landscape. What's the dream scenario for South Carolina? If there is a path for this team to get in with three L's, what's that look like? I'm going to give you my thoughts on that coming up later in the show. Coming up later in the show at 8 a.m., the lovely Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News is going to join us on the show. We will talk to Lulu about this matchup. I don't know if y'all know this, but there's a game going down this weekend right up the road in Clemson, South Carolina. The Tigers welcoming the Gamecocks into town. And I'm not going to say it's a playoff eliminator for both teams, but it is for one. And I'll tell you, I think the only thing that would bring more joy to the South Carolina Gamecocks than making their way into the college football playoffs would be keeping Clemson's ass out of them. So this is a big one. It's a big one. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk about that with Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock, 8:40. The wonderful Rashad Beard is going to join us here on the show to talk a little Carolina Panthers. And y'all, we are going to talk a little Panthers betwixt here and there because there was a lot of booty smooching out of the national media yesterday. A lot of fine folks that have microphones and cameras talking a little bit about the the Panthers. We're going to talk about the Gamecocks, too. I just said that. But talking a little bit about the Carolina Panthers and had some very nice things to say about Bryce Young. Things that your boy has been telling you for a year. Has been taking heat from Lonzo. Has been taking heat from the Armada. And yet here I am. Finally, having my sentiments, my thoughts echoed by folks around the country who know ball. We'll talk some Panthers coming up on the show. Rashad Beard joins at 8:40. And outside of that, who the hell knows what we get into? I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Senioritis is here. We got a couple of days till Thanksgiving. It's whatever you want. Whatever you want to get into, now's your time to shine. Upstate South Carolina. And we jump right in when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Ups.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, my man Ben, filling in for the great one Lonzo today. Should you wish to be a part of the radio program, it's very simple to do so. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. Jump on the air. We'd love to have you. You can also shoot us a text at 71307-71307. Start that text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. My man Keegan popping in said, accidentally woke up early, figured I'd check in. Good to have you back, my guy. Good to have you back. It's been a hot minute since we had Keegan in the stream. You guys can jump on the stream as well. It is very simple to do so. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/thefanupstate or search and subscribe to The Fan Upstate on YouTube. Do the same for The Rob Brown Show. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook. The Rob Brown Show on YouTube. And because we love you, The Rob Brown Show on Twitch as well if you want to go in that direction. Got a bunch of sound from the post games around the NFL this weekend, but I want to start with this one. And I want to start with this one because Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots, has been taking quite a bit of heat the last couple of days, and he's been taking quite a bit of heat about a comment that he made in the post-game show. He made a comment in the wrap-up of the Patriots game this weekend that has Patriots fans all hot and bothered. Here's what Gerard said. It's a short clip, but I want to talk about it.
Look, it's always, look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them, but our coaches to go out here and play better football. Thanks.
He said, once the boys cross the white line, there's not much I can do for them. I can coach them up. I can get them ready. But once they're out there, it's time for them to do their thing. And he's getting beat up a lot for that. And I don't particularly think it's all that fair, to be honest with you. I don't have a problem with what he had to say. Now, I do want to be very clear. To say there's nothing he can do, sure there is, right? It's all schemes. It's all making sure that the guys have what they need, right? It is making sure that when you've got a quarterback that's getting extra heat on him, you're scheming around that. How do I make sure that he's able to escape pressure? How do I make sure that I'm bringing extra blockers in back there? How do I make sure that, you know, I'm keeping the running back in, or I'm bringing an extra wide receiver down, or whatever the case might be? You absolutely can help out Jerod, and I think it's imperative that you do so. But I think what Jerod Mayo was trying to say here was that when it comes down to it, the situation I got to know is that the boys will go execute. That's it. This is about execution. I used to coach basketball. Not high level by any stretch of the imagination, because I am a big dumb idiot. But I coached youth basketball for a very long time. I need to get back into it. But I used to tell the fellas when we would practice, I'm going to give you everything I got while we're out here practicing. I'm going to give you everything I got. I'm going to teach you everything I know about the sport. I'm going to set you up with 1,000 different plays and strategies. I'm going to teach you how to box out. I'm going to teach you how to rebound. I'm going to teach you how to do everything I can teach you how to do. I'm going to give you everything. And with that, I'm going to prepare you for the game. But when the ball is tipped, I can call the plays. I can run push, which was my favorite. I had a kid that was an eighth grader that I got onto the JV team when it got to ninth grade. Ninth graders had their own team. Then there was JV, and then there was varsity. I got a ninth grader onto the JV team because he had a 3-point shot, and I used to run push for him all the time. It was a 3-screen wraparound play. Point guard comes up. I start the shooter out on one wing. I bring him around. There's a block set on the close block. There's a second block set on the back block. And then I ran a double block at that spot. So he would come off that block, cut up, and there was another block waiting for him. So one of two things happened. Either, number one, I created the mismatch I wanted to create, or number two, if there was a guy that was going to hang on and try to fight through to fight through 3 blocks to get there. And then it was a swing pass and a 3-point shot. Love that play. I can teach you that all day long. I can teach you exactly how that play is going to run, where it needs to go, what you need to look for that third guy to determine if he needed to spring a block or not, set a screen on the outside, whatever. But once I put the boys out there and I call that play, it's on them to execute. It's on them to figure it out. It's on them to take everything that I taught them and to look at it and figure out, okay, coach said if X, then Y. Did we get X? Yes. No. Why? What happened? How do we fix it? How do we respond to that? What's the situation? How do we react to it? And if they go out there after I've spent practice after practice getting them all set up to run that play to maximum efficiency, and all that goes away, Jerod Mayo's got a point. What do you want me to do in that spot, right? There's nothing more I can do. I can bench him. I can bring him to the side. I can put him on this side of that bold line and say, all right, somebody hand me my white erase board, and I can draw up the play again. But again, they got to know it. They got to know it before we get there on game day. If they don't know it before we get there on game day, I have failed as a coach. I have failed as a coach. And if I have failed as a coach, then none of this conversation matters. But I promise you, I'm not failing as a coach. And I promise you that NFL coaches are not failing in terms of lack of preparation. Now, There is an element to it, and I think this is something that Chicago Bears are fans are going through right now. I think this is something that the New York Jets fans are going through right now. I think this is something that a handful of fans are going through right now. At the end of the day, if the team doesn't respect the coach, if the team isn't open to the coach's leadership, if the team isn't listening to the coach, well, now you got a problem. Because now you might have all the prep work in the world ready to go. But if the team isn't engaged with the coach, none of it's going to matter. But if I've got a team that likes me, that respects me, that listens to me, that learns from me, then when they cross the stripe, when they cross the stripe and they get onto the green, or they get onto the hardwood, or whatever, they get in the pool, they get on the diamond, whatever. If I've given them everything I know, and I've given them how to anticipate, how to react, whatever, and they go out there and they can't get it done because they just don't understand, there's really not much I can do, right? Like, I don't think Jerod Mayo should be getting dragged right now. And I don't think he should be getting dragged right now because that team is the definition of a hard reboot, right? You think you guys got it bad with the Carolina Panthers. I am not going to take away from that. So do the New England Patriots. They are, I think, worse off than the Panthers are right now. See, because the Panthers, they went out, and while they've had a couple of really bad years of bad coaching, they brought in a guy who immediately took over, was doing the roster building, yada, 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 and the trajectory is up. The New England Patriots have 20-plus years of doing it one way that they have to break. We talk about culture a lot. And culture is one of those intangibles. You listen to the show for any length of time, you know I don't love intangibles. I don't like talking about intangibles. I think intangibles are, they're hard to talk about. They're hard to talk about. They're hard to discuss. They are hard to quantify. And I prefer talking about things that I can quantify. I prefer talking about numbers. I prefer talking about things that I can say, X is Y is Z, and here's why this is that. It's hard to do, but I think culture matters. And if I'm working with a team that either has no culture or is having to fight to overcome years and years and years of a culture and get to a different direction, It's hard to do. It's hard to do. And I think that's the spot you find yourself in with the Patriots right now. So when Jerod Mayo is saying, once they're out there, there's only so much to do, I can't help him. I think he's got a point. I really do. Let me get Kevin in here real quick before we run to the break. Kev, what's up, big fella? How we doing?
What's up, my man?
How are you, brother?
I'm all right, man.
Glad to hear you, man.
You just said a whole mouthful, man. Like, everything I was thinking about saying, you just said, because we can go through practice all week long, and I can watch film. I can give you everything that these boys are going to do, especially if I'm that coach that digs into the film, finding mismatches, finding this, finding that. Hey, this defensive tackle, he lazy on most plays. This what we're going to run at him. I can give you all this all week long, but then Saturday or Sunday that we get out there, now you snap the ball, you snap it over the quarterback's head, the quarterback fumbled the ball, the running back fumbled the ball, we don't block this way on a certain play. Now they look like a Kenny coach. No, I gave them everything that I tried to give them, but when that clock starts, you step inside the white lines. That's your responsibility to execute everything that we worked on all week long.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have been on the social media watching Jerod Mayo get dunked on for this, and it is infuriating. And, you know, I like to draw things, Kev. I like to try to draw direct analogies from real life. And I know that not everybody will have this experience, but I can't tell you how many young dudes in this industry that I have mentored over the years. And I sit here and I teach them about how I show prep and how I watch games and take notes and how I evaluate film and how I structure segments and how I do teases and intros and outros and build sound and yada, yada, yada. And I teach them all that. And then they come in here to sit in and they do a show and they push the mic on button and then they just they just freeze up. They're not ready for that moment. I can't do anything now. Like, now it's your time to do a thing. I've given you everything I can give you. I have prepared you for the moment, but either you respond in it or you don't. And I can sit here, Kev, when that person freezes up, and I can go, hey, hey, take your time. Take a breath. Think about this. Read that. Look at your prep. Yeah, trust your prep. Whatever. I can do all that. But at the end of the day, man, if we're in that spot and I've prepped you and gotten you ready and told you everything I know and told you how to execute, and you go out there and you step on your own junk and fall flat on your face, I can't jump all over the coach for that, bud. And that to me, unless he just is not doing the job preparing the team for what they needed to have ready for that game, then, which I don't have any reason to yet believe that's the case, because New England's been involved in a couple of damn football games, I can't beat up on him for it.
No, basketball, you can kind of, hey, you can hear the coach. But at the same time, football, once that clock starts and them fans get to yelling and we calling out plays, hey, man, you just got to run to execute now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. Play calling and design, that's still on the coach. If I'm out there and I got Lamar Jackson at my quarterback spot and I'm calling, you know, 9 design runs for him, and for the 4th time in a row Khalil Mack comes off the edge and smokes him, then yeah, it's on me to recognize that ain't working and to adapt my play calling to give Lamar a better chance to succeed. But if that keeps happening because the running back keeps missing his block and setting the edge, yeah, I mean, I can try to fix it, but at the end of the day, that's the running back screwing the pooch here. The point here is, I don't think Gerard Mayo was truly saying, Kev, there's nothing I can do. I think what Gerard Mayo was saying is, if I prep the boys and they don't go out there and execute, there's not much I can do about it.
Mm-mm. And then you still find a good coach that's like, you know what, I didn't have them prepared enough. But I tell you what, next week, we will be prepared. We will be prepared from here on out. From that great coach that's really trying to achieve greatness. And if the team buys in and the team is trying to follow the same path that the coach is putting out there, we're going to be where we need to be at the end of the day.
That's it. Kev, good to talk to you, my guy. Appreciate you checking in, big fella. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
My man Kev joining us here on the show. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate. We're going to run to a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. Does Indiana deserve a playoff spot? They're going to finish the season 11-1. They're going to finish the season 11-1 with no quality wins. I think they're going to have a lot of wins where they decimate lesser opponents, but not really a quality win and a beatdown at the hands of Ohio State. Indiana did something in that game against Ohio State that, while I do think that they are in and they should be, a team that I have been a huge fan of, did something that I'm not really sure how I feel about it. I want to talk about it with you guys and see if you are angry at Kurt Cignetti or if you can justify him playing within the system and the way it's built. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So I was watching some of the games from Saturday back on the replay last night as I awaited the kickoff of Monday Night Football. Including Ohio State and Indiana. And there was something that bothered me. Indiana finds themselves in a spot where they are getting absolutely ravaged by the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're getting hammered by the Buckeyes. They're down 31-15, and Indiana gets the ball back. Now, in a normal spot, you'd be throwing the ball around the yard trying to fight back into this thing, right? I mean, you're down 31-15. You're down 16 points. That's a two-score game. There's a lot of time left in the second half. You're in a two-score game. Touchdown, and I know it's a two-score game with a couple of two-point conversions, but I'm treating it as if it is a two-score game, yeah? You are not blown out. You are not out of this contest. You are not in a bad spot to try to make something happen. Indiana gets the ball back. Indiana has the chance to drive the field. Indiana has the chance to score a tutty, get the two-point conversion, make it a one-score game, and have a lot of time left on the clock. Now, let's start with this, because I think, as always, nuance is a major part of any discussion in sport. So here's the nuance of the conversation. Indiana ain't a team that likes to throw it around the yard. Indiana's a team that wants to play as much as they have some dogs on the outside. Indiana's a team that wants to play classic Big Ten football. They want to run the ball. That is their identity. However, their identity this season has been not to be down two scores. Not to be down two scores in the late third, early portion of the fourth quarter. And so that's a spot where I'd like to think you're tossing the ball around the yard, yeah? You're trying to make stuff happen. You got to go stick one into the end zone for a tutty and try to win this thing. Indiana decides on that drive to run the ball nine times. They burn minutes and minutes and minutes off the clock as they just army march this thing down the field. Left, right, left, left. I mean, they just take their time. And I think that there was a purpose in that. I think the purpose was we don't want to end up in a spot where we come out. And again, I understand their identity is to throw the football. Or excuse me, is to run the football, not to throw the football. So I'm sure that a large portion of it was, hey, we do what we do, right? Even down, we do what we do. But you're down two scores. Plenty of time. Plenty of time to make something happen. And they're just running the clock. You'd have thought they were up 31-15 the way they were playing offense. No urgency, no hustle, no sprinting to the line, no hurry up, no calling plays at the line of scrimmage, no huddle. I mean, you'd have thought they were up 31-15. And it occurred to me, I think Indiana wasn't in a position there that they were trying to climb back into this football game. I think Indiana was at a spot where they were just trying to keep the score close. I think Indiana was just in a spot where they were trying to keep themselves from getting the doors blown off them even worse. Because I think this team was probably looking and going, all right, we're going to be a one-loss team. I think, and I don't want to accuse them of this, but I can't say it's not the case. I think Indiana was looking and going, we're a one-loss team. We're not winning this game, right? There's no way back into this thing. We're a one-loss team. And if we're a one-loss team, we're going to make damn sure that our one loss, considering it is to the number two team in the country, we're going to make damn sure the score doesn't get out of hand. We're going to make sure that at the end of this year, when it is time for those rich people down in Dallas, Texas, to get into a hotel ballroom and vote on who the seven at-large bids are, that when they look at us, as we are now out of the running, likely, for a Big Ten championship and an opening round bye, we are going to make sure that once they have seeded the five highest ranked conference champions, we are going to make sure that we are one of those next seven. And we understand that the resume stinks. Indiana's resume is abysmal. We've talked about it on this show a number of times. Indiana's schedule was bad. Now, again, there's not much that they can do about it other than go out there and beat the hell out of everybody, right? Go out there and put 77 on Western Illinois, 42 on the road at UCLA, 52 on Charlotte, 42 on Maryland, 41 on Northwestern, 56 on Nebraska. Go out there and dunk on everybody. But the schedule's rough. You got one ranked team, Ohio State. It's not entirely their fault. Michigan stinks. There's not much they can do about it. Washington had a fall off. Not much they can do about it. Nebraska's up and coming, but they're not very good. Maryland, Charlotte, UCLA. There's not much they can do about it. They didn't draft the schedule, but they go out there and they do everything they can do. And the one ranked team that they play, number two, Ohio State. Ohio State beats the brakes off of them. So I think at that point they were just saying, hey, listen, we're going to have one ranked opponent and we're going to lose to that opponent. Let's make the score look like it was close, right? Let's take all the time that we can take off this clock. Let's burn this thing down as much as we can. We'll try to go score. Maybe we make it 31-22. We keep them out of the end zone. Okay. It's a 9-point loss. It's not ideal. You want to win this thing, but it's a 9-point loss, and it doesn't look all that good, or all that bad, pardon me. It doesn't look all that bad to the committee. Are we good with that? Are we good with that? Because I will keep it a buck. There's a part of me that, like, that kind of puts a black mark on Indiana to me. There's a part of me that looks at that and goes, man, if you're the type of team that finds yourself in a position where you're battling for your lives, if you're in it, and you guys know that I freaking love Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
I love this guy, all right? I loved him before the Ohio State game. Lonzo texted me during the game, and he's like, I feel like you have to delete the...
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
...clip from your soundboard. I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't. Been a lot of national champions that lost the game along the way. Georgia's done it. Clemson's done it. A lot of national champions that have lost the game. I'm not bumping that soundbite yet. But I got to tell you, if you're going to drop bites like that, yeah, I kind of expect you to do whatever it is that you can do to win the game. And in that spot, running the ball 9 times, running the ball and eating up minutes upon minutes upon minutes of clock time is not how you win that game. It's just not. It's not how you win the game. Going out there and trying to pad that game, trying to make sure that the loss doesn't look as bad as the loss actually was, trying to take advantage of the fact that hopefully the committee isn't going to watch and pay that much attention. Because with all of these 2 and these 3-loss teams out there, you like to think that if you are undefeated like Oregon, or you're a 1-loss team like Indiana and Ohio State, you can just assume you're in. You can just assume you're in. Resume be damned. You can just assume you're in. But if they go out there, play 0 ranked teams, then they play 1 ranked team and they lose by 50. And you're not an SEC squad. And not just are you not an SEC squad, but in a year in which the Big Ten has not been very good. It's a very top-heavy Big Ten. In a year in which the Big Ten is very top-heavy indeed, to go out there and try to protect your resume by running out the clock so that Ohio State can't score again, which they did, by the way, but can't score again, so it looks like you lost a 9-point game instead of a 35-point blowout, because you're afraid that, and justifiably so. A 1-loss Big Ten team could theoretically, I don't know that, I would feel much differently about it if it was a Pac-2 school, if it was an ACC school, if it was a Big 12 school. I don't know if it's quite as bad for a Pac-10 school. But if you don't think that there's going to be some 2-loss teams that get jumped by 3-loss SEC programs down the line, or much more likely, some 1-loss teams that get jumped by 2-loss programs, we've already had an undefeated team get jumped by a 1-loss SEC program. If you don't see that as a realistic possibility, I don't know what to tell you. And I think that's what Indiana was trying to avoid. And if that was the case, they are playing to the system. They are playing within the system. They are playing within the system that would send them to a playoff berth. I can't be mad at somebody who succeeds by manipulating the system. And for the record, there is no way to change this. It just is what it is. I'm not thrilled about it. I really would have liked to see Indiana go out there and try to bust that ass in the fourth quarter and make something happen. But can we be mad at Kurt Cignetti for trying to do something that is very much well within the rules of the game, of the system, as it's set up? I don't know. Texas said, Rob, I see your point, but if the committee watches the game, won't they see that that game wasn't that close? Theoretically. But again, I don't know that they watch every game. I mean, it's a lot of football. How many of y'all watch every top 25 matchup? You know how many hours and 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 hours of football that is every weekend? How many of y'all, sincerely, how many of y'all watch more than like three full games on a Saturday? I'm not talking about checking in. I'm not talking about highlights. I'm not talking about SportsCenter Top 10. I'm not talking about a YouTube 7-minute condensed replay. How many of you watch a full game? How many of you watch more than one full game of football? How many of you Gamecock fans watch South Carolina and then watch full games elsewhere? I would say not a ton of you. And if that's the case, that ain't a great look. Texter said, Rob, if he actually did that, then that's bull and he shouldn't be coaching, in my opinion. Yeah, again, like, Indiana fans aren't going to be that upset about it if this strategery ends up seeing the Hoosiers in the college football playoffs. All right, we can bring this back up later on in the show. I got your water cooler cheat sheet up next. Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock to talk Gamecocks. Rashad Beard at 8:40. We got your audio blitz coming down the pipe as well. All that coming up after I give you this sports flash. It took the full four quarters, but the Baltimore Ravens won their third out of their last four with a 30-23 dub over the Chargers last night. Lamar Jackson had just 177 passing yards, but threw for a pair of touchdowns and ran for another. Derrick Henry kept out of the end zone, but did rush for 140 yards and nearly 6 yards per carry. Baltimore is now 8-4 on the year. Ja Morant made his return to the Memphis Grizzlies last night and had an immediate impact, scoring 22, adding 11 assists, and a 123-98 win over the Trailblazers. The two-time All-Star was taken off the injury list less than an hour before tip and was one of six Grizzlies in double figures at the end of the contest. The Carolina Hurricanes picked up win number 15 with a come-from-behind 6-4 victory over the Dallas Stars last night. Carolina trailed 3-1 to start the third period, but scored 5 goals in the final frame to steal the win. Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis, Martin Natchez, Andre Svechnikov, Brent Burns, and Shane Gottesbier all scored while the defense allowed just 19 shots on goal. Stay tuned this afternoon, 3 to 7, for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire, with Cole Bryson and Diesel.